everyone. Welcome. It's Naomi Wolf of Daily Clout, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by State Representative Heidi Sampson of House District 21. Welcome, Representative Sampson.
Thank you, Naomi. This is really a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. I'm going to read a little bio. Representative Sampson is a resident of Alfred, Maine. She's currently in her third term as legislator for House District 21. She transitioned to the legislature after serving 5 years on the Maine State Board of Education. Fantastic background. Heidi was the first homeschooler ever appointed by a governor, where she served as chairman of the Career and Technical Education Committee. She's a graduate of St. Lawrence University. She has a biochemistry background, and she lives on a bustling family farm, how cool is that, which has provided her ample opportunity to share her zest for life with her children and grandchildren. I can't think of better qualifications to represent the people of the United States of America, the people of Maine, so that's really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I reached out to you, or we reached out to each other, because of the Five Freedoms campaign, which is up on Daily Clout. Citizens have launched a kind of advocacy and awareness educational campaign to highlight legislators across the country, doesn't matter what political party, we're nonpartisan, who are doing legislation or trying to pass legislation involved of one of the five freedoms, or all of them, ideally. So I know that you're working on that. So tell us more about that.
Okay. Well, thank you. I was extremely excited about the five freedoms that you're talking about, because literally those are the things that I've been advocating for since we started our lockdown last year. And I've done all kinds of events trying to get the public to have their voices heard, and, you know, hosting press conferences where, you know, the business owners got to share their voices, the charities, you know, nonprofit organizations got to share their voice. Parents who have little children in daycare when they had the mask mandate. And so I've been very, very vocal, very out front on all of these restrictions on our liberties and our freedoms. And yes, science is a part of it. Obviously, I have a science background. But when I heard what you were advocating for, I got very excited, because this is exactly what we need. And people, we need to engage the public. We need to engage fellow legislators and representatives to realize what is at stake here. I mean, really, our civilization and our way of life is really hanging in the balance right now. And I'm getting to the point where I almost feel like all of the other things that we're working on really become a moot point if we're going to lose all of our civil rights and all of our liberties that we have been living under in this country that is founded on the principles of liberty and freedom. So that terrifies me. And I feel like this is the stake in the ground, the hill to die on. So I am very excited to glean from you and any of your allies in this. Now, what we're trying to do in Maine right now is, and you're going to help us with this, we're trying to get legislation to be passed. I first have to be able to introduce it. We are a completely Democrat-run state. I am not a Democrat. What I would like to do is to address these five principles of liberty in legislation. And I'm going to have to partner with some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. So therein lies the first challenge. They would be the ones that would have to go before this council, not me, because if I went before it, it would be rejected immediately.
I hope what you just said will become kind of the live free or die of the 21st century, of this moment. I know that the citizens overwhelmingly agree, and the more they learn, because science is being used to mystify people, so it's good that you have a science background, the more they learn, the more they agree. And parents overwhelmingly, I mean, as I've said elsewhere, talking to moms on the left, moms on the right about masks on their kids, do not stand in the way of a bipartisan movement of furious moms. Right. It's stronger than anything else on earth. So I do highly applaud the words you just spoke. Are you saying that you would not be successful with Five Freedoms legislation, which is nonpartisan, it's the Constitution, going before your legislative council, which is democratically dominated, because of your party, that the legislative council won't consider it because you personally are a Republican? Is that correct?
I would say that's probably a very accurate assessment of the verdict. And I can back this up with some real life experiences that I have witnessed just being a member of the education committee. One was a vaccine mandate, removing the religious and philosophical exemptions from our law that we've had forever, and we've had no problems. That bill came before my committee. We had over 800 people testify on this issue. 80% of them were strongly in opposition of this. Mm-hmm. So the 20% were by and large the pharmaceutical industry, the medical establishment that came and spoke in favor of this restriction and therefore mandating vaccines for all children in school or they will be removed from school. The hearing went till like 2:30 in the morning. They looked at me and said, "That's nice, but we're gonna do this and it doesn't matter what you say." Well, when that happens, we've been totally disenfranchised the public. Completely disenfranchised them. It was stiff-armed, did not matter what people said, it did not matter. Shut the thing down, it was really an eye-opener in the harsh realities of, okay, this party in Maine does not care about what the public says. The sheer and utter shutdown of representative government was horrifying to me.
Just to explain to people who don't know necessarily what a religious exemption override is, it's pretty terrifying. And I just want to take a moment to explain it. Correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't know this was possible. And I have a 9-year-old child I love in Massachusetts. And when I found out that there is in Massachusetts, in New York State, no way for me as a parent to say I'm not on board with what you're injecting into my child. And I'm not anti-vax, right? You know, in an extreme way. I'm pro-parent. I just believe that parents know best. They know best if their child has epilepsy. They know best if their child has neurological issues, if their child has a phobia of needles, you know, whatever it is. It should be the parents and not the pharmaceutical industry or the school that decides what goes into the child's body in a very fundamental way. And what's terrifying, I was stunned when I heard this explained to me, is that those kind of caveats that you can opt out for religious reasons or reasons of conscience, whatever they are, right, in our country, you can't ask, that those have been systematically removed by special interests, by the pharma lobby, in state after state after state. And it's horrifying. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're talking about, right?
Correct. It's a humanity issue. It's a human issue. It's a mom, dad, child issue. And the government has now stepped in between the way we want to raise our children. It should be our choice. We are the land of liberty. That means we should have the freedom to choose, to reject, to accept. We should have that freedom. And that has been stripped from us here in Maine. And it was just one fell swoop, gone. Not because there was ever a problem.
Right.
We have almost a 95% compliance already.
Right.
So there was really no basis for this.
Right.
But this is being pushed by big pharma. You've got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation out really ginning this up, and all of their minions and all the way down, pushing a certain mantra that really it's designed to terrify people. Right. It's designed to divide our society. And everyone's suspect, everyone's a potential hazard to everyone else. And, you know, I just was having this conversation just a little while ago. It's like, well, you know, they say, well, your right stops at my rights. And I was like, well, you know what? One thing that's never discussed here is personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have personal responsibility for my health, my welfare, mm-hmm. and to conduct myself appropriately. It's personal responsibility. If you're in an airplane, what does the stewardess say to you or steward? They'll say, okay, if the plane drops, the little air pocket thing is going to pop out. It's going to come down. The first thing you're supposed to do is cover your nose before you help somebody else. Protect yourself and make sure you are okay before you help somebody else. So, but now we've just flipped this totally around and the narrative has completely shifted, which has been a setup for this next stage, which is this vaccine passport and this whole COVID thing. And everyone has just been ginned up that now we've not just separated society on philosophical principles, but now we have physically separated them. They have been sitting in front of a screen, whether it's a computer screen or a TV screen, being beguiled by the media and literally lulled into a stupor. Mm-hmm. And now we have all these isolated, siloed individuals who are being literally injected with terror and fear, and that anyone outside of their house is potential, you know, they're the boogeyman that are gonna come out and get you. We have completely lost all ability to reason here. It's not even logical what is being expressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the data are in. I mean, we don't have to go in that direction. We could be here all day, but the data are so abundant, peer-reviewed study after peer-reviewed study, that the states that locked down and restricted everyone to their homes and terrified everyone did no better than states that were wide open, engaging in commerce, worship, freedom of assembly, constitutionally protected liberties. So you're 100% right. I want to just circle back before you go on to number two about the wall that you said you're experiencing when you try to say to your Democratic colleagues, look at all these people across this state who have these legitimate concerns, this unbending response. I just want to share with you and with my audience that you are the fourth or fifth person who has described exactly the same thing, and I've experienced it. And maybe now is not the time to go into it. It's my job to go into it at another time, but I've looked at Bill and Melinda Gates' 990s, and millions and millions of dollars are going into vaccine acceptance programs, vaccine hesitation overcoming programs, to the media, to local media, and to community leaders, as well as certainly to the NIH, you know, Democrats, you know, possibly Republicans. I haven't seen that yet, but, you know, hospitals, and churches and synagogues, and, you know, grassroots groups at the most, you know, mom and pop level. So I had this experience of saying to my synagogue, when are we reopening? When are we reopening? Look, here's all the data showing it's safe. Let's do it outside. Let's get folding chairs. We'll sit 3 feet from each other. We'll sit 6 feet from each other. I just wanted to worship. And it was like this wall. And they said, we've got a medical advisor, an epidemiologist, and it's like, it's not going to happen. We may be, you know, Zooming till next Hanukkah 2021. And a colleague of mine has had the same experience with universities. Now we're seeing Cornell, Northwestern, Rutgers saying a version of what you just described. Students have to have these experimental mRNA vaccines to go back to campus, violating ADA law, HIPAA law, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, and so on.
It's happening here in Maine. Maritime Academy just mandated.
Which school was that again?
Maine Maritime Academy.
Shocking. So mm-hmm. I guess what I'm seeing as a reporter, when you get that, like, you and I know politics doesn't work like that unless someone's already had their decision wrapped up in advance, right? Politics is like, I don't want to get unseated. Maybe I shouldn't infuriate every Mainer. But what we're experiencing now is not real politics, like the political process is broken. And I'm just going to put this out there because I'm hearing this from multiple places, that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation seems to have managed to break our media and break our politics by funneling millions of dollars toward the deciders. I'm just putting that out there for you to think about and other people out there in the world to think about. I don't know if it's the case with your colleagues, but I know that I'm hearing this kind of nothing, nothing, nothing. And that's not normal, right? And it's certainly not representative government.
When you have a wall, when you've been beguiled and you've been given just a little bit of information, literally enough to be dangerous, you have no curiosity to go and pursue because you've been given the facts.
Right.
And the facts, well, you know, the facts aren't the facts. They might give a nugget, mm-hmm. but it's out of context and it's designed to incite fear,
right.
which shuts down all reasoning. And so when I ask questions to probe and stimulate some conversation, I know immediately when the person I'm talking to has just been bewitched because they give me the pat answers. They're not open to having a discussion. They don't want to think about it.
Do they know that the data show that children are at no serious risk from?
Well, if anyone has talked to me, they have heard it over and over and over and over and over and over, and yet they ignore it. They dismiss it as if it's just, oh, that's inconsequential information. And we had one of the things, we had a rally of getting kids back to school that I helped to sort of the catalyst to get that baby going. That, you know, my colleagues and I have wonderful colleagues in our House Republican caucus that went out and talked with the kids. We had letters that I had suggested they have letters written that we would deliver to their representatives in the chamber. And it was so sad to see that they were asking for their own representatives that were Democrats, and they would not come out. They
oh
would not
gosh.
Come out. Now, I have to say, one gentleman did, and he got an earful.
Right.
But he walked away, kind of shrugged his shoulders, and was not engaged in the conversation. It wasn't like, okay, I hear what you're saying. I get it. I'm going to try and help you. No, there was none of that. It was just, okay, I heard you, you know, thanks for sharing your opinion, and walking away.
Can I ask you a question? Does the word opinion come up, like when you provide data and science, or when constituents do people say that's an opinion?
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's your opinion. I'm like, no, it's not.
I just want to tell you something as a former political consultant, because I've heard that a lot too. When I say, here's the mask studies that show they don't help. Here's the data showing kids are not at risk. When people have been, are reading from a certain memo, they use certain sound bites. And I'm going to look into this more fully. It's not your job to look into it, but hearing the same sound bites over and over, that's an opinion, that's your opinion, that's your opinion. And other sound bites I'm hearing really do suggest to me that this is part of a highly funded campaign.
Oh.
And I've seen the 990s. I've seen the money going into this kind of campaign. So let's leave that aside, because I don't have any evidence of that with your colleagues, but it definitely is a red flag to me as a reporter.